Well, praise the Lord. It is great to be back at Faith Baptist Church, and what a blessing it is, what an honor it is to stand before you today. And thank you so much for the great accommodations last night and just taking care of us. I had good fellowship with your pastor last night. This morning, I was walking, and you know, this weather for African blood is not too good. And so I endeavor every morning to get out and walk. And so I was walking this morning, and I was coming up over the bridge there on the interstate, and as I'm coming over the bridge, the first thing I saw, preacher, was the Texas flag. And I thought, man, Illinois has been liberated. Hallelujah. And then I found out it was just Texas Roadhouse. And but there was a small glimmer of hope there. But it is a blessing to be able to be here, and we do want to come and just say thank you for your faithful support through the years and your prayers. Several of you this morning have already come up to me and have told me about your prayer plan and how you've been praying for us, and what a blessing, what an honor that is to be prayed for, because what you're seeing here and what is going on, and, you know, it's hard to take 24 years of ministry and put it into 9 minutes of video. But what you're seeing there is just a little bit of glimmer of the fruit that is on your account because of your faithful giving and your support and your prayers. And we thank you so much for that. God bless you. And I hope and I pray that we can continue many more years representing Faith Baptist Church in Uganda and continue to reach those people there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a couple of things that I would ask that you pray with us about. You saw on the video there our main ministry that we're going to be working with as we go back is working with those pastors that you saw. Right now we have about 65 pastors that are under our care right now that we're working with and discipling and training. A lot of times these men over there that have not had training, they've not had much instruction in the Word of God, they have this idea, we need to get churches started, get churches started, and they've got a lot of zeal. And so they go out and go soul winning in a village and see several people get saved, meet under a mango tree, and figure out, all right, which one of you knows most more about the Bible than the other ones, or maybe which one of you has a Bible, you're the pastor. And that's kind of the way it's gone these past 12 years up there. And so we have many of these churches that God has brought into our care, but these men have no training, and even many of them are not even qualified to be pastors. We've had some of the pastors already have gotten saved because of our ministering to them. And so the doors are open. The average church up there that these men have run about 30 to 50 people. And so the influence that we can have, we can just get in and help these men get some training, teach them about discipleship, teach them in the Word of God, try to get them the Bibles and materials that they need. I truly believe that we can take what Pastor Kasaja has started and help them to develop that and bring much more fruit into that area. And so most of our ministry is going to be up in the northeastern part now, working with those men, as well as continuing our Triannual Bible Institute. Every 3 months, whenever we have school break, we bring all of our pastors and church leaders in for Triannual Bible Institute. One of the hardest things about church planting, if you talk to any missionary, is trying to get churches to be self-sustaining. And so we've gone over there and we've looked at the situation and we figured out that in most of these cases, the men are already self-sustaining. They already have their sheep, they've got their goats, they've got their cows, they've got their maize, whatever they're growing, they're self-sustaining. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll take an American mindset that says, hey, we've got to go over there, we have to start a four-year Bible college, and you've got to come to college and go 4 years. And so what we're doing is we're uprooting them from their villages, bringing them into towns, trying to help them to tell them that they've got to get jobs and things. And then by the time they finish 4 years, number one, there's less of a burden to go back to the village lifestyle. So we've seen that not work very well. And so what we said is let's leave the men where they are and let's either go to them in training or bring them in three times a year into this Tri-New Bible Institute. And this has helped us so much because we're able to train these men and help these men in the Word of God, but keep them self-sustaining in their villages. And so God has been able to do this in a great way. We've got about 65 different churches we're working with. All of them are self-supporting, and the men are being taken care of by either by vocational, the church is taking care of them in some capacity. And so pray for those ministries. We're excited about that. Now, in our town church there, we do have a four-year Bible college program for our town people, and jobs are more plentiful there, and they're able to do that. And so we're excited about that. Another thing to pray for is the radio ministry. We've had a big change in our radio ministry just since we've been on furlough. This video was made the latter part of 2019, and in June of this year, the Ugandan government passed several laws that have really made it difficult to continue operating an FM radio station. As a matter of fact, in August, we had to make one of the most difficult decisions of my life, and that is to close that FM radio station. Two things they were wanting of us. Number one, they wanted us to have a government-approved editor that would approve everything that goes out over the air. And number two, no longer can you operate as a ministry. You must be a business. And so you've got to get a business license. You've got to start filing for taxes, all these kind of things. And I just did not feel the Lord leading us in that direction. And I said, Lord, we've got all that equipment, and we've got thousands and thousands of hours of broadcasting that we've made with the local languages and things. I said, Lord, I just, in my heart, it just weighs heavy. I don't want that to be a waste. And so God began to put on my heart and on the heart of my pastor the idea of taking all of that and putting it on internet. And so Word of Life Radio that you saw there is going to become Uganda Baptist Radio. And we're going to take everything that we've done, and we're going to be broadcasting it from Greenville, South Carolina, on the internet. And you say, well, we looked at that, and you've got a lot of huts there, third world country. Is there really that many people that are going to be able to listen to the internet? Well, there's some things I need you to understand. Number one, China is flooding third world countries with smartphones. And they're everywhere. Most of the men in our church over there have a smartphone. They're not expensive like yours is or mine, but they've got smartphones, and data for internet over there is very cheap. I was in one of those mud huts that you saw there talking with a pastor, and one of his church members came in the hut and asked me if I was on Facebook. And so that really took me for surprise. But they say that half of the Ugandan population is on Facebook. And so not only that, but we've got lots of people in the capital city that have access to lots of internet. Ugandans go to the Middle East, Europe for working. And so I'm looking for it. I've never done it before. Of course, I've never done FM radio when we started that. But we're looking forward to getting this going. And so we've already got the website up and running. And Lord willing, within a couple months after getting back into Uganda, we'll get the internet radio up and running as well. And I'm praying that God will use that as an opportunity to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that we would not normally have been able to reach as well. And so pray for that. January 26th is our goal to return to Uganda. We already have our tickets, and so we're, Lord willing, everything is on schedule for that. And so really pray that we will, that nothing will change as far as regulations and things. Uganda opened up its doors on October the 1st, and so we're able to get back in the country with no problem. We've already had missionaries that have got in there just even within the last few weeks. And so that door is open, and so pray that that takes place. And the only thing they're requiring of us is the day before we leave, we have to go down and get a COVID test and present a negative COVID test. And so pray about that, because all it takes is one of us to have negative, and all those tickets and the scheduling and the logistics and all that has been unraveled. And so just pray that God will open that door and keep that door open so that we can get back and get back to work doing what God's called us to do there. This furlough has been unusual. We arrived in the country March the 3rd. And so our first missions conference was at Brother Auger's church there. The last day of the conference was when Illinois shut down restaurants. And then we come back into Illinois for your meeting and found out they closed them down again. And so maybe it's me. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it is a blessing to be able to be here. It's been an unusual furlough, but God has blessed. We kept a full schedule, and God's protected our family. And we thank you so much again for your prayers. If you haven't done so already, I want to encourage you to go back to the display back there and grab a prayer card. And on that prayer card is our website, and have access to that and follow us and see how God is working, continue to work in that country. If you have any questions, we'll be here throughout the service this morning. Please come and talk to us. We'd love to talk about the ministry that God's called us to and answer any questions you might have regarding that. Amen? Thank you so much. God bless you, and we sure appreciate that. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm 81. Psalms 81. And I want to give you something just in the next few minutes that I hope will be help and a blessing to you. Psalm 81. Psalm 81, and if you're able to, let's stand as we read God's Word this morning. Psalm 81 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall any worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." I want to draw your attention to that phrase there. My people would not hearken to my voice. And just talk to you for a few minutes about the danger of not listening. Father, I pray you help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, thank you for this great church and the testimony this church has all across the country. Lord, I pray you help us, Lord, as we look to your word, speak to our hearts. I pray your Holy Spirit would help me. And Lord, help each of us, Lord, to glean truth from your word that would help us to be better Christians for the honor and glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember growing up, one of the things that I got in trouble for the most was not listening. How many times did I hear my dad's voice ring into my mind, "Son, you're not listening." And, well, Dad, I thought, "Son, you're not listening." And how many times have we heard that? I remember one time when I got my first car. I got a 73 Chevy Impala was my first car when I was 16 years old, and just a tank. And of course, when I was working, all the guys, that you're working with, they're doing all these kind of, special stuff to their car that, made it run faster, right? And of course, I got kind of caught up into that. And so I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I want to go down and I want to put all these different gauges, these oil pressure gauges and your special water temperature gauges and all this." He said, "Son, why?" He says, "You don't need any of that stuff." I said, "Yeah, but it's just all the guys are doing it." And so he said, "Son, don't do it. It's just not wise. I'm telling you, don't do it." And so I listened to that for a little while. And, of course, I was older, went off to college. And I said, I really think my car would be running a lot better if I had those gauges. If all you have is a 73 Chevy, you got to do something to spruce it up a little bit. I mean, it was army green. And so I went down to the local stores and I bought this whole array of gauges, I was going to put in there, got it all hooked in and everything. And I'll never forget the day when I was in class there at Bible college and somebody come running in and said, "Keith, your car's on fire." Sure enough, I went out there. There's smoke coming out, and that oil pressure gauge that I wanted so bad that I had no idea why I needed it got on the engine and caught on fire. And I remember my dad saying, "Son, you should have listened." Amen. You should have listened. How many times in our life can we go back to those times, whether it's our parents or whether it's a youth pastor or whether it's our pastor, that we thought we knew what was best, And we maybe the Lord will begin to convict in our hearts and showing us in our hearts, you know, something we should have done. And again, we thought we knew what was best. And we thought we knew the answer. And we thought this was the best way. And how many times have teenagers messed up their lives because they just didn't listen? How many young couples and people that have entered marriages and once they've entered those marriages, they look back and wish they'd have done it different if only they had just listened. And I believe it's the same way so many times in reaching our world for Christ. We look out there and we say, look at how bad the world is and look at how the direction the world is going and look at the look at how sin just seems to be multiplying and what's going on. And I truly believe with all of my heart that much of the blame can be put at our feet because we're not listening. You know, I believe with all my heart, God is still calling.
Yes, sir.
But we're not listening. God's still stirring young people. God's still stirring older folks to get out into the ministry and do a work for God and reach people for Jesus Christ. And we pass people every day on the road and the Holy Spirit begins to prompt our heart and say, hey, you know, witness to that person or give that person a gospel track. And but we get so busy with life and we get so busy with what we're doing, we don't stop and listen. And with this story we have here, the Lord is talking to Israel, and he says in verse number 8, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." He says in verse number 10, "I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And you and I understand that Egypt is a type of the world and bringing out of Egypt is a type of salvation. And so he's reminding us, he said, listen, I am the Lord God. I am the one that saved you. I am the one that redeemed you. I am the one that brought you out of bondage. And I am here to fill you and I am here to bless you and I'm here to provide for you and I'm here to give you exactly what you need. All you have to do is open your mouth and I'll fill it. But one of the saddest verses in verse number 11, he says, but my people would not hearken. My people would not listen. And he says, Israel would have none of me. And I believe you can kind of hear the heart of God just as a father looks at his children and said, oh, I wish you had just listened. You go through the life of Israel and how Israel went from place to place and made mistake after mistake and faltered time and time again. And it was just simply because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. So what is the danger when we don't listen? I want you to understand in verse number 12 up to the end of the chapter, he begins to help us understand what happens when we don't listen, what happens when we don't respond to the voice of God. In verse number 12, so I gave them up. I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. God says, if you won't listen to me and you won't follow the desire and the plan that I have for your life and the will that I have for your life, he says, if you're not careful, by your not listening, you will miss out on God's best. Because God will let you have what you want. He says, I'll give you up to your own lust. I'll let you walk after your own counsel and watch you fall flat on your face. And you say, oh, that's a cruel God. No, verse number 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. His ways are the best ways. His counsels are the best counsels. His purpose is the best purpose. And God said, listen, when you don't listen to me and you don't listen to my Holy Spirit and you don't listen to the Word of God and you don't listen to my prompting, He says, you're going to find out that your way is going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your life. Just 2 weeks ago, I was talking to someone and it's amazing to me. You hear this story all the time and it just seems like you ask yourself, will this story ever get old? A man taking my wife and I to the airport, again lamenting and saying, I know that when I was a young person, I know that God called me to be a missionary. But I didn't listen. And now my whole life is, yes, I'm serving God, and yes, I'm in church, and yes, I'm doing these things, but I missed out on God's best. I missed out on what he wanted for me. And he and that man, as he was driving us to the airport, he just simply said, Brother Keith, and it was just exactly like this verse. Oh, I wish I had listened. How could God have used me? You miss out on God's best. Look in verse number 14. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Not only do we miss out on God's best, but we miss out on potential victories. When we don't listen to God and when we don't follow in the direction and the purpose and the plan that God has for our lives, we miss out on those opportunities to see God work in miraculous ways. And oh, if I had the time this morning to sit here and tell you story after story after story of the victories and the miracles that God has done in people's lives and the churches that have been changed, started, and the lives that have been changed in people's lives. And if I go back in my life and say, God, I don't want to go to the mission field. I don't want to surrender. How many potential victories that I would have missed out upon? He says, I should have subdued their enemies. The potential for victory was there. The potential for me to give them victory, to give them the ability to stand for God in that capacity that I have them serving was there. And I longed to do that. I longed to be that. But because they wouldn't listen, they don't have the stories to talk about. Where's the victories in your life? How many times do we give testimonies? We say, oh, if I would have listened, I wouldn't have done this and I wouldn't have done that and my life wouldn't have been messed up. Thank God for those people who listened and said, look at the victories that God has given in my life. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that when we don't listen, and listen, there were many times I didn't listen to my dad and I'm still able to go on and do something for the Lord. So I'm not saying that your life is finished out. I'm just saying that when we don't listen, we miss out on His best and we miss out on the victories that we could have had and the testimonies that we could have had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 13. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He said, the haters of God, those that are against God, the pagans, those that are not saved, those that are lost, the Gentiles, he says, these that hated God, if you would have just listened to me, if you'd have just followed what I instructed you to do, the haters of God would have submitted themselves. I believe this to be, in my heart, the saddest thing is how many people have not come to Christ because I didn't listen. How many haters of God would have been willing to submit themselves to God if I had just listened? How many times have I passed by people that God has prompted my heart and said, give them a gospel tract, talk to them about the Lord. Go to that next door, just one more door. I want you to go to the mission field. I want you to lead the Sunday school class. I want you to do that. And we don't listen. And how many people walking out in our neighborhoods, in our community, have never submitted themselves to God because you and I did not listen. We didn't listen. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves. Verse number 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? We miss out on God's best. We miss out on His victories. We miss out on potential converts. But we also miss out on the excellence of His provision. Because when God leads and when God directs, God says, I will always supply. And not just the basic. He said, listen, I wanted to give you the finest of wheat. I wanted to give you honey out of the rock. I wanted to satisfy you. I should have been able to do this, but as a result of your not hearkening to me, because of the result of your not listening to me, you've missed out on my provision. And again, where's our testimonies of God's provision? Where's our testimonies of God providing in ways that we could not understand? We have put ourselves into such a lifestyle here in the United States of America that we have so much and we're blessed with so much. We don't know what it's like to be without. And so when we try to give those testimonies of God's provision, we're trying to figure out the difference. What was that, God's providing me, or was that my working? Was that my manipulating? Where is God's provision? And I'm just telling you today that I've had the opportunity of serving in Uganda, and I know without any shadow of a doubt, I know that that's where God wants us to be, and I know where God has placed my heart, and we have been able to see victories, and we've been able to see the converts, and we've been able to see the excellence of His provision. But I remember that day that I was sitting almost on the back row. We were having a youth activity when God spoke to my heart about going to the mission field. And I said, Lord, what if I had not hearkened? What if I hadn't listened? Are we listening? Are we in tune to God? Are we in tune to His Word? Are we in tune to His Holy Spirit? I believe with all my heart this morning that God is uttering those same words there in verse number 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and that they had walked in my ways. I don't know your story. I don't know how God's working your life. I don't know how the Holy Spirit of God has been prompting you to serve. I don't know those stories. I just know that God is speaking and God is working and God desires to see fruit through your life. But if we don't stop and listen, if we don't stop and hear that still small voice of God that said, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the direction. This is my path. How little do we pray about the directions in our life? How little do we pray about the decisions that we make in life? And maybe it's because we don't want to hear the answer. Maybe it's because we know what God's going to say and we just don't want to hear it. But my challenge to you this morning is this. Open your ears. And hearken to the Lord. He wants to work through you. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Seven times in Revelations, He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yes, sir.
Let him hear. He's still talking to the churches.
Yes, he is.
He that hath an ear, hear. I'm speaking, I'm working, I'm directing, I'm trying to show you my way. But you've got to listen. You've got to listen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for people in my life that listened. Lord, that were able to influence my life for the cause of Christ. Thank you for pastors and youth pastors and missionaries, men of God, that hearken to the voice of God. But Lord, He's not just speaking to pastors and youth pastors and missionaries. Lord, He desires to speak to every single one of us. Father, may our ears be open, may our ears be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, that we may listen and walk in your ways. Help us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Let me ask you to keep your head bowed just for a moment there in your seat. I'm not going to have a come forward invitation. But let me remind you, folks, that from eternity past, God has known exactly who would be in this auditorium on November 29th, 2020. And before we even knew Keith Stensis existed, God knew that he would be here to bring this lesson And so you are here, I am here, by God's design. Please don't let that pass. Please don't let that pass. And just in your own seat this morning, where you are there between you and the Lord, submit your heart to Him. Submit your life to Him. And if you've been so cluttered up with Fox or One America Network or any what you would call conservative outlet, if we've been so caught up with our own lusts that we've not listened, talk to God about it. Tell God that He spoke to your heart this morning. He kind of pricked it. And just submit yourself to His voice, His speaking. Father, I thank You that I got to hear the message this morning, and more than hearing the voice of Your good missionary, I heard the voice of Your Spirit speaking through him and through Your word to my heart. I don't want to miss Your best for me. I don't want to miss potential victories. And Father, that was such a good point about, as Americans, it's hard to distinguish between what we're able to do through what the means You've given us financially and what really You have provided miraculously. Lord, I pray that we'd tune our ears to You. Be tuned in. Like searching for that certain radio station on the dial, we dial in to the voice of heaven and give ourselves to You. And thank You for the wonderful work You're doing in Uganda. Thank You for the privilege of being just a small part of it financially, prayerfully. And Lord, we just rejoice in what our hearts have heard and felt this morning through the presentation and through Your word. Bless the next service in Jesus' name. Amen. That was helpful. That was helpful. That was helpful. Sometimes things that are helpful sting a little bit. And that's good for us right there. Really, really good for us. Outstanding.